Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
In the wild times in which we're living, we ask how to live. We speak language of wanting the new normal and what will it look like and how will we give it shape. There's good news in the midst of these wild times, and that is we may be able to stand out by standing up. We may be able to stand out by standing up in God's power and God's purposes. That we ourselves become part of the change we're wanting in the world. We help to give God's definition to the new normal. So much has happened beyond our control, and there are changes in our environment and how we do work and family, what's available, having to wear masks in times and places when it's not Halloween, it's just Saturday or Wednesday. Here's the mask. But in the midst of that, if we are a people and a people of God who are not consumers of faith, but who are people of faith being shaped in the character of God, then we can be used of God for a time like this, like the Apostle Paul did in his age, and how the people of God have done through every age. How do we do this? It happens by the sense of what Phillips Brooks wrote about during the weird, wild times of the American Civil War. And in the midst of those times, he heard the voices of people, when will it end? When will we get back to what was normal? And there would not be an old normal to get back to. And so he began to pray. He prayed, do not pray for easier times, but pray to be a stronger people. Do not pray for tasks equal to your power, but pray for power equal to your task. Then discover that the miracle is not what is done, but how the work is being done through you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Many of our Bible study groups this morning were into the book of Colossians, and where Paul makes it clear to the people of the Roman Empire, people of many different backgrounds coming with the gospel of Christ, that there is a hope beyond you. But when that hope it resides in you, then what is revealed from that is the glory and power. The creator of the heaven and the universe be able to show its way through. It's when in this time of life, we want the ball. We want to be involved in the game. We're not asking for someone else to do what it is that we are to do. But we are willing and wanting to do what it is that we can do, so that God will do what only God can do, so that we can do what we can do. In the second game of Lee High School, a football season, a member of our church, Carson Callender, who had been injured all last season, was at the line of scrimmage. Lee needed to get on the scoreboard, and the coach and the quarterback called his play, and this is what happened. Carson will be the outside receiver running a slant. Quarterback sees him, trusts him, throws it. Boom! In for the score. Carson didn't say to the quarterback in the huddle before the play, don't call my play. But the play was called, and he knew that it was his time and his way, that he could do his part in the midst of 10 other people on that line of scrimmage or involved on his team in the play, that he had his part to play and got the score. For us, that means that we can stand out by standing up in God's promises for God's purposes during these wild times in which we are living. First, that means to trust. To be able to trust God boldly. Boldly that when life gets wild, we can get ahead of the situation by heading towards God's hoped-for outcome, the best possible new normal. That is, if we're just kind of playing around with the circumstances are going to still just control us. But if we ask each morning as we pray, like I called out this prayer of Phillips Brooks, Lord, how can you release your power in my life that I may fulfill your purpose to give shape to this day? Let me be a player, not just a spectator in the midst of my relationships with my family and at work or volunteering. Who is it I can call, text, Facebook? Who is it that I can create a platform to be able to connect with? How is it that I can wear a mask safely and make contact? How is it that you want me to be involved? And it begins by trust, trusting God. Regular kind of trust, that low-level kind of trust, will create the breakthrough. But when the wild times arrive, it is the wildness that enables us to realize it's taking a power beyond us to be able to do what is needed to get ahead of the situations. While preparing this sermon, a very personal memory came back to me when I was 10 years old, and I was in the backseat of a car. It was late one night, and our family was driving to South Texas to visit our farming cousins and aunts and uncles. And my brother James, who's 5 years older than me, was driving. He hadn't had his driver's license very long. And he was driving, and we were almost at our destination. And I remember seeing from the back seat just a car coming directly at us, but sideways. And my brother just had an intuitive awareness that instead of slowing down, he needed to speed up. He needed to speed up and veer to the right to get off the road. If he had slowed down or kept the same speed, he wouldn't have missed the oncoming car, but he needed to get out of the way. And then once we got on the side of the road, we were in a mud, and that in itself was dangerous, where we could have turned over. If he hadn't done that, there's every reason to think that my mother, my brother James, my older brother Don, my sister Anna Kay, and the two men in the other car all would have died that night. But James had an intuition that he needed to get ahead of what was happening. He needed to veer quickly, faster than he had been going, to be where he needed to be. You think God doesn't have the capacity to create the pace in our lives that we need? To be able to have a training and a working inside of us that we can be at that place? That's what's happening. When in Acts 26, that Jackson read for us, what we have is this ongoing scene in the life of the early church as seen through the Apostle Paul. Now, we've been walking our way through Acts, this fifth book of the New Testament, asking the question, you know, God, where do we go from here? And what we have seen again and again from the first generation of Christians is that they were not consumers, but they were players. They became stronger in the faith by living through their tough times and asking God what it is that God wanted to do through them. And so the last third of the book almost is when things got strange and went sideways for Paul, and he got arrested when he was in the midst of worship in the temple. He was falsely accused. He was unjustly named as the defendant that was to be stoned to death as a sign of the judgment. And we find that in the midst of this, chapter after chapter, he is tapping into a bold trust within God. And now, after 2 years of being there in Caesarea, after 2 years of being in the seaside town outside of Jerusalem, the third person has come to try to hear his case, King Agrippa, going along with the governor. And so in the midst of that, he says, Agrippa says, I want to hear what this man has to say. And so Paul could have been trying to backpedal when he was explaining his situation. But what he said was really clear, is that it is the defense of the gospel that God's love is for everyone. And I believe it is for Gentiles and for Jews. It's for men and for women. It's for boys and girls. It is for people from all the different regions of this land. God's love is there, and I am with each one. And then Agrippa said, you think in such a short time, you're going to be able to convert me, persuade me of what is happening? You see, Paul is going to the leader. He's going to say, in that moment, the Spirit of God might work in his life, the king's life, that he would become convinced of the truth that would set him free from his own sin. in these wild times in which we're living, so it is that God is wanting us to go to the change agents in our culture by ourselves being a change agent, presenting the gospel and how we live and what we say in the midst of their lives. So, Jim Barnes is 99 years old. He could have sat out this election, but he didn't. He went with his daughter and his son to the polls. And when he got to the polls, they said, "Would you like to go to the front of the line?" He said, "No, I can stand up like everybody else. I'll wait my turn." 30 minutes later, he'd cast his vote. This would be his 49th general election since he was born that had happened. He's a player. I don't tell you how to vote, as if that would convince you. But I have been really clear to you that we will not let the divisive times of our diversity to destroy us. We have people in this room that are going to vote different ways on different categories, but we are one in the power of Christ as a people. And we may boldly express our viewpoints, but we will not make enemies of anyone, and it is not to be a part of our Bible study time. And we don't pray at people when we pray as the church. But we look for the unifying power of Christ to do in us and among us what's not happening in our culture. Otherwise, we are only mimicking culture and not transforming culture. That's the power. I get all kinds of things sent to me, and you do too. And we can receive the passion of perspective that people send to us or speak to us, and to do so with a respect and to a love, and respond in a way that if we disagree, we can do old school disagree agreeably. Because there's a power inside of us more than just us. It is this Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, the only thing I want to change about Jim Barnes is that mask he's wearing. I'm going to give him this gift of a kind of green and gold mask, even though they did manhandle us yesterday on the field. But we can tap into the inner calm, so we trust God boldly. And then we tap into this inner calm of God's abiding presence. It's the authority that is beyond ourselves, allowing God to be within us, who then is able to create inside of us who we need to be in the outside situation. See, God changes us from within to be his difference out in the world. If we only depend on our own power, we are where we already are. We're in a world of hurt. And God's wild side has a wild moral vision. He created the heavens and the universe. He created new beginnings when a Noah had a moral vision different than the replication of sin that was going on all around him. And the sin that God grieved God the most in the time of Noah, Genesis 5 through 10, was violence. But there was a moral vision about a new day that would come, and the rainbow in the sky would be a sign. So this Paul is now, he's in Caesarea, he's in this open arena, and there's the new representative of Festus from Rome, and you got King Agrippa there in Israel, and you got the people who'd want to kill him. And he said to them, "Now, Festus, you want to know if I think I can persuade you or convince you? Absolutely, that's what I want to do. I want to give a witness to the hunger in your life. I want you to be able to see a hope beyond the hope, because you know at the end of the day, Festus and a King Agrippa, you don't have the power to change the hearts of people. You can intimidate, you can create fear, but you can't change the hearts of people, and until the hearts are changed, our society won't change. But let me point to you the one who can change society and make all the best dreams come true. And that person is this one Christ." And the power of the word, then he said, "Paul, it's in a short time with you, well, or a long time. I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am." Now, here's Paul's sense of humor. Because he was in chains talking to these power brokers, and in the midst of accusers, he's the only one there in chains. And so he looks around, and I can imagine his chuckling. I've been on the scene where it happened, and he's just saying, "Now, except for the chains I have, I wouldn't wish that on you, because they shouldn't have been on him." And he could have just been fuming and feuding about how unfair life had become for him. But instead, the chains became the sign of honor, even as the cross. Until Jesus died on the cross, the cross was a symbol of embarrassment and shame. But when he died on the cross, he transformed it. He got ahead of it. He went in front of it. He was willing to boldly enact tapping into the resources of the Almighty God, so that God could create that change. And creating the change, so he did. This past Friday, there were hundreds online and maybe 250 in the sanctuary for the service of Johnny Bush, a member of our church whose music, country and western music, had filled the dance halls across Texas. And his voice had been, he had been the personality who sang for big events across our country, and his music played in other parts of the world. And Zachary played Holy, Holy, Holy. We sang it as part of the time. Now, you know, Johnny's autobiography is called Whiskey River, because he wrote that song, sang it. Willie made it famous. So his autobiography is that. Jenna is our librarian. She's a great librarian for us, working with Cindy. And Jenna came to me one day and said, "Where should we put this in the library?" We knew we couldn't put it in the children's section. You don't get beyond the first two pages and you realize this is not children's section material. But as I said Friday, there are times that someone will come to me when I've really challenged people to read the whole Bible, and someone will come to me who's doing it for the first time, and they'll say, "Pastor, did you know this was in the Bible? Do you think it ought to be there? Should we take it out?" I mean, it just tells the whole human story. But something Johnny made very clear, particularly towards the end of his life, that his music never glorified alcohol and never glorified husbands leaving their wives, wives leaving their husband. All of the songs of those pain was saying, this is not the way to go. But let me show you a better way. So my eulogy was entitled From Whiskey River to the Jordan River. And in the inscription of the book to the library, he quotes out of the prodigal son, who came to his senses by allowing God to touch his soul, and he tapped into the grace of God, a forgiveness of God that made him whole. My first question, are you trusting God boldly? My second is, are you tapping into God's presence to create an inner calm, so you're less anxious than the world in which you're living, so you can make God's kind of difference in the world? Thirdly, do you have a vision about turning a downside situation right side up? To act with an abandonment of God's wild grace. God's going to do what God will do and can do. We don't play that role. But by God doing what God can do, then we can do what we can do. Paul seized the moment of being in a situation he didn't ask for, but there he was, and he wasn't going to backtrack. He spoke to the power of God, to the authority of the day. And when he spoke that word, it rung with words that have helped to shape human history as a witness for the gospel. It's powerful. You can be that person. You can be that difference maker. Turning right side up something that's gone downside in your family. That in COVID-19, you're reviewing your business practices and you're thinking, you know, we should be doing differently than what we've done in the past, and now is the time that we're going to do that. Maybe you've been in your personal practice. Maybe you've been cursing a bunch, and you've been having an affair, or you've been cheating on this or that out of your character. thinking you had to do that in order to get by. And then God just made it really clear, you don't have to do that. Because if you do that, it's only going to make it worse and not make it better. That you yourself become the right side of person, then God, with that abandoned grace working inside of you, helps to reveal it in such a way that you can see the confidence of God shaping your life through the course of your life. Jean Cooney lived to be more than 90 years old. And here she is, tubing her way on the Guadalupe River at about age 90. You know, her body could do it. She wanted to do it. So she went for the float, seized the moment. And in the midst of that moment, you can see that wild side inside of Jean that had handled so many downside situations, but how in God's grace and care, she had turned most of them right side up through his power. So, when Paul had wrapped up his defense and the conveners of the king and the governor and the spouse met, and they said, "You know, we could have released him, except he required as a Roman citizen that he should go to Caesar. So it's really on him that he has to go there; otherwise, we would let him go." Oh, that's not true. I mean, they say it, but it's not true. What was happening is that there were authorities in this sea town of Caesarea wanting Paul to be sent back to Jerusalem, and this journey that would have required a whole day, there were assassins waiting to attack, that if Paul had gone back to Jerusalem, assassins were waiting, and they would have killed him. And so Paul said, "I'm not getting a fair shot there or here, and I am going to appeal to Caesar to go there." And so he would cross the Mediterranean Sea and end up in the court of Caesar and take the gospel of Jesus Christ. People may try to re-explain the reality of your life, but you know that in the reality of life, your situation and how God has said, "Trust me," and maybe ask for that bold, wild mission of your life, and I'll send you on that way. As we move into this invitation, know that there is a way for you to stand out by standing up in the power of God, and through this power of God for his purposes. None of us can be faithful to God and simply watch all this go by. And so when we're asking, you know, be a part of a Bible study, zoom in, connect with people, be a part of these kind of mission ministry opportunities we have, that's not just trying to get more activity involvement, but it's saying by the very act of participation, then you're helping to give a witness and become a community on a mission for the living Lord God. That strengthens you then in your personal life, in your professional life, to be who you need to be in order to get this accomplished happening through you. Wow. COVID-19 is a judgment on us, not caused by God, but a judgment on us for having a consumer lifestyle. It is time again for us to be pioneers, giving shape to the times in which we are living by trusting the one who has created our life to live in these times. That it may be said of you, and to be able to say of you, because of him or her or them, my life changed during that strange season called COVID-19. Now, this means we stretch ourselves, and that's where this invitation comes in, to say yes to Jesus Christ. "Lord Jesus, I need you. I give my life to you." I ask you to bow your head with me right now. Just everybody, please bow your head. And for some, this is your time as a first time, just to say quietly to the Lord, "Lord Jesus, I love you. I need you." I give my life to you. I accept my need for your forgiveness. I confess my sin. I believe in you. I believe in you as the Son of God. And I commit my life to follow you forever. And for others, it's the prayer of saying, Lord, I was looking for the easy way, but there is no easy time. So stir in me that power of your wonder, that I may reveal your wonder to our world and how I live each day as a follower of this Christ. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.